On Mount Hood in Oregon yesterday, rescuers were able to help several climbers down the mountain after conditions became hazardous. But one of the climbers fell to his death before he could be rescued. Authorities did not immediately release his name. Mount Hood is Oregon's tallest peak. Thousands of climbers ascend it every year, especially between April and June. But this time of year, the mountain is treacherous. It's got layers of ice and loose rocks. We have a story now about a more pedestrian kind of winter weather danger. When there's snow and ice on the streets and sidewalks, road salt gives us traction, but it also corrodes cars and can hurt the paws of pets that walk on it. Now scientists and transportation officials are recognizing the damage road salt can have on the environment and potentially on human health. Jacob Fenston from member station WAMU in Washington, D.C. reports.
So what I'm going to do now is just lay a spray a little grime.
I'm riding in a salt truck with Bryant Alston, who works for the Washington, D.C. Department of Public Works.
Everything is pretty much calibrated through the equipment, so I pretty much doesn't have to do anything but just hit a button right here.
We're out during a recent storm, just a dusting to 2 inches in the forecast, but Alston and hundreds of other drivers will spend all night cruising the city, coating every road with a chalky white layer of sodium chloride. Crews dump roughly 30,000 tons of rock salt on city roads each winter. Eventually, all that salt washes down storm drains and ends up in our waterways, like the Anacostia River just down the hill from the U.S. Capitol.
You can see the Anacostia right there.
Clara Alias works for the city's Department of Energy and Environment.
With snow and ice, I wish we didn't need to use salt, I really do, but there are very few alternatives out there.
So what's so bad about salt? This is a question Sue J. Koshel has been thinking about for the past 2 decades. He's a professor at the University of Maryland who studies the impact of salt on water quality. A couple years ago, the issue hit home for him.
One of my neighbors came to our house and they asked me why the water in the neighborhood or in their house was turning blackish brown over the last 4 or 5 weeks. And I immediately realized that it was related to this road salt issue.
The drinking water in Koshel's neighborhood coming from the Potomac River is 3 times as salty as it was 25 years ago, according to the local water utility. That salt can corrode old pipes, releasing toxic heavy metals into the drinking water. In fact, road salt was one of the culprits in Flint, Michigan, where lead poisoned an entire city. Besides human health, salt isn't good for plants or creatures that evolved to thrive in fresh water.
So the community that we're talking about in general, we call them benthic macroinvertebrates, and it's a really long, big word to just basically say big bugs that we can see on the bottom of the stream.
Will Eisenberg is with the Virginia Department of Environmental Quality. We're standing on the banks of a creek that's become so salty, these bugs are dying off.
They may not be your most coveted creatures, the ones that everybody finds lovey and cozy, but they're important to the ecosystem.
So regulators are developing what's called a pollution diet, enforcing limits on salt use in this watershed. Eisenberg says it's not about leaving roads to ice up. It's about using salt in smarter ways.
Really simple things like training your personnel, what the right application rate is for the right weather condition.
And these things are already happening in some places, especially in snowier and saltier parts of the country. In Minnesota, for example, there are already some 3 dozen watersheds on pollution diets. The Twin Cities metro area uses 10 times as much road salt as D.C.
365,000 tons.
Brooke Oslison is with the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. In recent years, the agency's been doing trainings on how to reduce salt use both for transportation departments and private contractors.
Depending on the changes that they decide to make to their operations, we've seen up to almost a 70% reduction in salt use.
But even as people like Oslison are working to reduce salt use, there's another trend working in the opposite direction, development. Every new road, sidewalk, driveway, and parking lot means more salt each and every snowstorm. In a way, the story of road salt is the story of our nation's growth. Sue J. Koshel with the University of Maryland recently published a study looking at data from the past 50 years. Over that time, road salt use has skyrocketed in many parts of the country.
So you start to see suburbanization in our region after about World War II. So as these suburbs developed and the numbers of parking lots and pavements increased, you started to see more road salt being applied to manage those, what we call impervious surfaces.
Koshal says scientists are still learning about all the ways salt is changing the environment, and he says regulators are just beginning to catch up. Around the country, salt usage is still on the rise. In the meantime, transportation officials are trying out alternatives. But right now, there's nothing that's cheap enough to use on such a massive scale. For Here and Now, I'm Jacob Fenston in Washington.